Soon all kingdoms will cease to exist, but the kingdom of God will remain forever and ever. I would like to read two scriptures on this subject, one from Daniel 7 and the other from Revelation 11. Daniel 7, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Amen. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. You will understand why I am a little moved today, perhaps more than in any other month of this year, moved by what God has already done, overwhelmed by what is happening politically. And of course, this is linked to the great responsibility that we bear, especially at this time. Today, we will briefly address the events that are unfolding rapidly. And every day we have seen that new news and new developments are taking place. And as we have been announcing for years, based on the prophetic word, we see that the end is near and that all things must take shape as they just fit into and must be in the final round. When you, beloved Swiss people, hear about some cities in other countries, they may be far away, and you may never have set foot there. But no matter what place is mentioned, whether it is Timișoara, I must say that I preached in Timișoara back in the 1960s. When Bucharest is mentioned, I preached there a year and 3 months ago. Whether Hermannsburg or whatever cities, no matter where it may be, whether Prague, whether East Berlin, wherever it may be, for me, it has a greater significance even now. When the Brandenburg Gate was opened 2 days ago, we were all born into a country and have shared in its history, whether we were responsible for it or not. I visited the Reichstag building, stood at the Brandenburg Gate many times, and wondered when it would be opened for us. And this is not a political statement. The latest developments mean that we are entering the final phase of the end times. And you simply have to see it from the perspective of Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy does not see two superpowers in the end times, one on this side of the Atlantic and the other on the other side of the Atlantic. Bible prophecy sees one beast, one power, not the heads here and the horns there, but a whole Europe. And this is emerging before our very eyes, so that the great whore can then ride on this beast. All political paths lead to Rome. It is simply part of this development. As far as we are concerned, we must make sure that we take advantage of the open doors. Can you imagine how I feel now? That I can travel to Leipzig, to Dresden, that I can go anywhere in so-called East Germany whenever I want, and stand in the square and preach to my heart's content, that I will soon be able to preach the gospel on the Wenzel Square or on Republic Square in Bucharest. God has simply opened the doors, and we will not just stand by and watch what is happening politically. We will use this short time that has been given to us to preach the wonderful gospel of the kingdom. I would like to wish that one day we will all be so inspired that when it is said, today we are in Prague, then we will be in Prague. And when we say, tomorrow we are in Berlin, then we will be in Berlin. And the day after tomorrow in Geneva. May movement come into all of us. When I think of the division of our country, of the many crossings, how often I was checked, even at a crossing in Berlin, put into a wooden box, set there for over an hour without anyone speaking to me. I have taken on a great deal for the sake of God's cause, and I am all the more grateful to see that no arrest warrant has been issued against me, as was the case in the German Democratic Republic and Czechoslovakia at the time, but that things have changed overnight. That freedom of movement has been granted in every way. Who would have said a year or 6 months ago that people from all the Eastern Bloc countries would suddenly be able to come? They were traveling to the mission center in Krefeld. Last time there were, I believe, 6 cars from the GDR. Now for the annual meetings, we are expecting over 30 people from Czechoslovakia and other Eastern Bloc countries. Soon, we will no longer say Eastern and Western Europe. We will simply speak of a united Europe. There will be nothing else in the near future. Politicians, or some of them, are short-sighted. They talk past the developments, but God will ensure that everything happens at the right time and in the right way. As I said, I would like to briefly touch on the last 10 years. Today we have our annual general meeting, and I was very moved on my journey here. I have been flying more than driving lately, but this time I came by car yesterday, and 5 kilometers before Basel everything was closed. The cars were stuck on the motorway, so I took the route via Rheinfelden, crossed over, and drove over the Rhine Bridge into Switzerland, and then came, I think it's National Road number 3, I came onto the ancient road that I used to drive every Sunday, every last Sunday of the month in the 60s and early 70s. And I saw certain landmarks here and there, and tears came to my eyes. At that time, the motorway we know today did not yet exist, and I said, Lord, during all these years, you have been with us and blessed us. I felt gratitude welling up inside me. Coming back to the development, 1979 was a fateful year that affected me and many others. Brother Russ is here today. I warmly welcome him. I hope that he will also say a few words later. But 1979 was truly the year of Satan's main attack on God's cause, on God's work. And we will see that political and religious developments often run parallel to each other. Who does not remember the year 79? The Shah was overthrown. Khomeini flew back from Paris to Iran, formerly Persia. And a development began that we now look back on the last 10 years. And what do we see? About halfway, God saw fit to put a Mr. Gorbachev in the right place in the country. And we see what has happened since then. The last bastion of Stalinism has fallen, and the whole of Eastern Europe is free. And this will bring with it and include freedom of movement, not only of traveling back and forth, but also of preaching. How grateful we are for that. Those who experienced it live, and I'm not saying this to devalue anything, but you really had to experience it. Until the end of the 1960s, anyone who wanted to travel from Germany to West Berlin had to put up with harassment. You had to count your money when you entered, and you had to count your money when you left. You were harassed. You had to walk over cow mats to leave the disease of Germany behind, so that it would not be carried into the GDR. Anyone who has experienced all this harassment often enough, as I myself have, even back then when they persecuted me, and by the grace of God did not get me in the end. I'm not saying this to draw attention to myself in any particular way. I am simply saying it out of gratitude to my God, who always guided me, even in bad times, so that I never shied away from responsibility. I think of a trip to Czechoslovakia, and you know that importing religious material was a state crime. Anyone caught with it would lose their car and their freedom. I can remember the day in the city of Cheb when I crossed the border and I had literature and audio tapes between the front and back seats, and then just covered them with bath towels. And I said, open all four doors, open the boot, open the bonnet, and get out. And of course, it was a lady who did the check. You know, sometimes you get a strange feeling during a check like that. She walked around the car, starting at the front seat, then around the bonnet, and then to the boot, and she came around and put her hand on this huge package and took it back again. I watched. You can imagine how I felt. That would have been the end of my journey if she had lifted up the bath towel. I have wonderful memories of the direct providence, guidance, and protection of the living God. I don't think there was a time, and especially with Romania, when I entered with 6 Bibles and had to open my suitcase, and the customs officer said, "What do you want with the Bibles?" I said, "I need the Bibles." And then he said, "But you only need one for yourself. What about the rest?" I said, "They are for my friends." And he just said very quickly, "Then close it and get out of here." And that's what I did. I was quite happy to do so. There are, and I could really list many incidents today, where I know 100% God preserved, God helped. He was there with a protective hand for the sake of His name, for the sake of His work. In the last 5 years, especially since Gorbachev came to power, we have seen the whole of Eastern Europe become free. And it will go from one form of slavery to another. We know that. From political slavery to religious slavery. And we are also clear about this. If all the churches had not stood behind it, nothing would have happened. But let us leave it at that, because it fits into the course of the end times. And as I said earlier, we are grateful that it is going the way it is going. The only important thing is that we prepare ourselves to fulfill our task. I do not know whether it will take another 2 or 3 years, but then, as I tried to say earlier, there will no longer be talk of 2 power blocks. They will have become superfluous, and everyone will be able to go where they belong. For it must come to pass that it can be proclaimed, "Now is peace and safety." And it will come to pass, because Scripture says so. All negotiations on chemical weapons and everything else will make such progress that almost every week, every month, will bring new results. If the Lord were here today, He would call out to us all in a loud voice, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." We are about to enter the last decade of this century, or millennium, the last 10 years until the turn of the century and millennium. I am convinced that the Lord is coming soon. Are you too? I am 100% convinced that the Lord is coming soon. None of us will be so foolish as to predict the year. There is no need for that. It is superfluous. But there is a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that touches all our hearts and has already come true. And I would like to read a few more scriptures on this subject. 1 Thessalonians 5 from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are people on earth who do not live in darkness, who do not puzzle and guess, but who classify what happens according to the prophetic word. There is the wonderful scripture in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. Daniel 9, verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. And now comes the text I am referring to. Now therefore, give heed to the word, that you may understand the revelation accurately. We are so grateful to God for the connection to His word through His Spirit. So grateful to God that we do not rely on feelings or impressions, but may pay attention to the word, and especially to the prophetic word, in order to understand the developments that are now taking place. Now therefore, give heed to the word, that you may understand the revelation accurately. It is not an exaggeration to say that only those who truly pay attention to the word can understand the revelation. Is that correct? Only those who truly pay attention to the word of God, not just reading superficially, but reading prayerfully, paying attention, and as it is written of Daniel, as he began to pray, the word came to him. Chapter 10, verse 1. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and refers to great tribulation. And he paid close attention to the revelation, and gave heed to the vision. Men of God, as we have often said, did not puzzle over things or guess. They received revelation from God about what was going on. And Daniel was specifically told, this refers to the determined end time. And in the last chapter it says, seal the book even to the time of the end. Many will then search it, and knowledge shall be increased. We are grateful to the Lord for sending his servant and prophet in order for us to receive an introduction to the prophetic word at all. It required a prophet sent by God. We have also gratefully emphasized this in this place, that we have not disregarded what God does in our supposed wisdom of being spiritual. We have respected the divine decision and believe with all our hearts what our beloved brother Branham testified, namely, that he was told in May 1946, just as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And people may stumble over this, make fun of it. There are people on earth who are part of what God is doing right now. The prerequisite for having a share in what God is doing is to believe the promises for this time. Only when we believe these promises can we see them fulfilled. A person who is lost can only be saved if he believes that salvation is available to him. Forgiveness can only be received by those who believe that God has forgiven us in Christ. All things have been established on the basis of faith. And whoever confesses with their mouth to believe, as the scripture says, should not sort out what they want to believe, but should believe the whole scripture as it says. And this includes the fact that the Lord has promised to send the prophet Elijah, not Elijah the Tishbite, or his successor Elisha, but a man in the spirit and power of Elijah, in the spirit and power of God, a man sent by God with a divine message for this time, so that we may receive instruction through divine revelation. All scribes interpret. Prophets reveal the whole counsel of God based on the word. Beloved, today is Christmas according to the calendar, and we would do well to briefly consider the idea that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There was a Christmas, a night, a silent night, There was a Bethlehem. There was a moment when the Word became flesh, when God took on human form to redeem us. For over 800 years until that moment, Isaiah 9, verse 5 and 6 had been written, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Suddenly, it was fulfilled. We do not go by the calendar. We all know that it was at a different time. Those who have become believers believe the facts of the plan of salvation without arguing about dates. It does not matter to me when it was. What matters to me is that it happened, that there was a day when the Lord of glory came down to us, took on human form, so that he might have the opportunity to redeem us, even to redeem us from the body of this death. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amen. He will perform this. The beginning has long since been made. We are now approaching completion. In Matthew chapter 1, the evangelist has quoted this text from verse 20. Matthew 1 from verse 20. And here we joyfully emphasize once again that this was based on the fulfillment of Scripture. Matthew 1, second part of verse 20. "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now listen to the next verse. "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child," and so on. All this was done that the scripture might be fulfilled. There was the day of our Lord's incarnation, his entry into this world, and we are grateful for that. Let us read Luke 2 on this subject. Luke chapter 2. There is a lot to read here. I will just touch on a few thoughts here and there from verse 4 onwards. Luke chapter 2 from verse 4. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You can read on. Why did he have to go up there? It was written in the prophet Micah, "And you, Bethlehem, are by no means the least among the cities of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth to me the one who is to be ruler in Israel." This scripture also had to be fulfilled. Micah chapter 5 verse 1. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Bethlehem, out of you he will come. At that time, this couple had to go up to Bethlehem. God can use earthly rulers to give a command that the whole world would be counted, and that this couple also be in the place where they belong at that time, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. It simply overwhelms me that God watches over his word. Not only 2,000 years ago, God watches over his word today, and he appoints kings and removes kings, so that the scriptures may be fulfilled in every way. Now hear this wonderful account. In Luke chapter 2, from verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them," to the shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the sign was given, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." This word is also very clear. There are people on earth upon whom God's well-pleasing rests, as it came upon Christ, the firstborn. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So there are first fruits, born of the Spirit of God, upon whom God's well-pleasing rests, a group of people that are under the open heaven, a group upon whom the Spirit of promise descends to impress upon us the divine seal, the certainty that God has accepted us and that we have become the property of Jesus Christ. Beloved, if we wanted to go into all these scriptures, we would need hours, if not days. One thing seems important to me. that these scriptures come through us. It does not matter how long we delve into them. It is good to do so in prayer. But what matters is whether these scriptures prove true and are fulfilled in our lives. That we simply take this word that was spoken here, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace in the people with whom God is well pleased. There are people who have found peace with God. People who have found peace with God as their Savior have peace with God and peace with one another. It is impossible to say, I have peace with God, and at the same time be at odds with your brother or sister. That is not possible. One of the two is being deceived. Of course, Holy Scripture says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Even the Lord, as the Prince of Peace, could not prevent people from being hostile towards him. But he himself kept the peace, brought peace, and established peace. And we, as redeemed people, as people who have found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, should be peacemakers. Even when something is brewing, we notice it and do not allow it to develop into discord. But we let ourselves be used by the Lord, so that peace remains and is with us and around us. Peace with God, peace with one another. God's well-pleasing rests on the redeemed flock, on the first fruits, who believe every word from their hearts and have it revealed to them through the Holy Spirit. We have not been taught by men, but by grace we have been taught by God. I would like to briefly touch on the signs of the end times. According to Luke 21, you know, in a service like this, many things must be addressed. In Luke 21, we have a wonderful summary of what concerns us in the end times, or what would happen and what has been announced. From verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Let us pause here for a moment. Everyone knows that the term fig tree refers to the people of Israel. And who are all the other trees? All the other nations. They simply have to throw off the yoke that has been imposed on them, because the time has come. And here too, we do not want to intervene politically, but we see what happened after the Second World War. The great British Empire fell apart. And today, if one wanted to tell the truth, one could no longer speak of Great Britain, but would simply have to say Little Britain. In 1945, there were around 49 nations under the rule of this empire. Today, the Commonwealth continues. But what significance does it have? Great empires have become small. The peoples have shaken off the yoke of oppression throughout Africa, throughout Asia, everywhere. And now we have seen the same thing in Eastern Europe. And I hope that the bastion of China will also fall, and that there will be no more bloodshed in Tiananmen Square. But that the proclamation of the message of salvation through the blood of the Lamb on the cross of Calvary can also be proclaimed there in freedom. May it be fulfilled that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all peoples, tongues, and nations. And because God has said it, He watches over His word, so that it may come to pass at the appointed time. Do you believe that it will happen? I believe it will. And we should have been strengthened in our faith by the things that have happened in recent weeks, days and months, that God has indeed stretched out His hand everywhere. Who was here last time when I was asked after the service what would happen to Romania? I almost have to laugh. I simply said, the saw is already being put to Ceausescu's chair, but he's deaf in both ears. He just can't hear it yet. And he will simply collapse in his chair. What was it? Barely 4 weeks ago, and already it is history. Beloved, there is simply no stopping this development anymore. Time is pressing. And we must, I say again, we must ensure that we catch up, are available to God, and take advantage of the time of open doors. For the moment when the unification has taken place, and this peace has been introduced, you can imagine what will happen then. Then we, who are not part of this great thing, will be worse off than we are today. But it will also be the time of the revelation of God's power. It will be the time of the confirmation of the Word. It will be the time when the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, our Lord, will be part of our daily meetings, and everyone will expect God to reveal Himself in every meeting, not only the fig tree, but all the other trees have blossomed, have become tender, have become independent, and the last ones have shaken off their fascist, socialist, and Stalinist yoke, and attained freedom, political freedom. This is also a fulfillment of scripture before our very eyes. I don't know if I mentioned this last time. It doesn't really belong here. But we are delighted to be able to witness this development. And at the time I saw the celebrations with Gorbachev and Honecker in East Berlin, I simply said to myself, today you are celebrated, tomorrow you will be fired. And you know, in English, you don't say, I have been dismissed. You say, I was fired. And that means I was kicked out. Not I have been dismissed, but I'm fired. And I simply translated that into German and said, today you are celebrated. Tomorrow you will be fired. And what happened? Only weeks passed. I say it again, by the grace of God, we have received anointed eyes and divine understanding of political and religious events. And we also see that the promises for the church are coming to pass, and that God is watching over His word to fulfill it. It continues here in Luke 21, verse 30. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. As soon as they sprout, now they have all sprouted. What now? What should happen now? Now we should recognize. We are forced to recognize. No longer interpret. Forced by God to recognize through fulfillment. The time has come. It is at hand. It is not only near, it is here. In verse 31 it says, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. When we see all this, we should recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. Fear not, little flock. Do not look around fearfully, but trust in your God. He will take care of His people. He has taken responsibility for them. We recognize that through these things, the kingdom of God, the realization of the kingdom of God on earth will take place. As we read at the beginning in the prophet Daniel and in Revelation 11, then a kingdom will arise that will never be replaced. All other kingdoms will have to be subject to it. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. And on that day, His name will be the only one. This is in the context that there will be light at evening time. He will reign as king, and we with Him. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Oh, what certainty there is here! Heaven and earth will pass away. The psalmist saw heaven rolling up like a scroll and passing away. It is also written in Hebrews 1. Heaven rolls up and a new heaven is created. But the word does not roll up. The word remains forever. For God has spoken it, and God is an eternal God. And so we can rest in it. Heaven and earth will pass away. John writes in Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. But he did not see a new Bible. There is only one Bible, one Word of God, Old and New Testament, the everlasting Word of our God. And according to this Word of the Eternal God, the eternal plan of salvation of our God is carried out, and we may be part of this divine plan of salvation, namely part of the Church of the Lord. Quickly, the last words, as a warning, from verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. What wonderful words! What does this text remind you of, dear brothers and sisters, when it says, So that day come upon you unawares? Most certainly, 1 Thessalonians 5, as we have read, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, here the mouth of our beloved Lord speaks. Yes, the Spirit, through Paul. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. No, ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. Here we are told, so that day may not come upon you unawares, like a snare. It cannot take us by surprise. We are awake, we pray, we recognize the signs of the times, and are grateful to God with all our hearts and souls, that we are allowed to live in this time. And in closing, I would like to make the following remark. I am glad that I did not turn 86 today, but 56, and that the Lord will grant me grace as long as He still needs me. He will give me strength, even if it sometimes becomes a little more difficult. Nevertheless, as the day goes, so goes the strength. And I would like to thank my God from the bottom of my heart, here before you all, who has carried me through all the climatic conditions around the world in all the past years, who has preserved me, who has been with me, and saved many tens of thousands, and shown the way to salvation. To Him, our faithful God, be all glory, now and forever. Are you grateful that we are alive now, right now, seeing things with open, anointed eyes, and we lift up our heads because we know that our redemption is drawing near? The Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Living God, the God of the Old and New Testament, the true God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who became our Savior in Jesus Christ. May He bless us in a mighty way, but in such a way that it can be heard, seen, and felt. God's blessings can be experienced. We can experience God. Once again, I would like to express my gratitude. For the past 10 years, I'm grateful for all that God has done. Full of courage and joy, full of confidence and great hope, we will enter the next year, indeed the last years of this century and millennium. And one thing I can tell you with certainty, He who holds time and eternity in His hands will walk with us. He will go before us. He has promised, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. We believe this, and we will experience it. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. Amen.